Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, if it's Wednesday, it must be Ypsilanti. All I know is that my outdoor temperature dropped 51 degrees in 24 hours. from 85 down to 34. We're having a nice storm here. Lot to talk about. Connor McGovern has declared for the NFL draft. Sharif Miller has declared for the NFL draft. No surprise on either account. And David Corley, who was the wide receiver coach for Penn State during the 2018 season, is no longer part of the program. Daylon Darien, also no surprise, is transferring from the program. Happy New Year to all of you. We will talk about all this and more coming up. But first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Fourth and goal from the one-yard line, moving left to right. Ehlinger takes the snap, trying to go up the middle, trying to bounce, trying to cross the goal line. Yes, this time, touchdown. Sam Ehlinger, his third rushing touchdown of the game, just made it across the goal line. And Texas leads 26-7.
Texas won the game last night, the Sugar Bowl, 28-21. I'll freely admit I did not see a minute of either the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl. I was in transit the entire time. I did not get back home until 2 this morning and then was on a plane at noon today. So you do the math. That's 10 hours. Sean, good day.
Happy New Year, sir. Glad you made it to Michigan.
Happy New Year to you.
Yes. Glad you made it to Michigan safe and sound with the team. Went one once sport they, into another, and but
once they brought the proper stairs to the plane, we were able to get off the plane.
That's important.
So we're sitting there today, and they bring the first stairwell over. This is for basketball. Football is fun. They bring the first stairwell over. It doesn't fit the plane. Yeah, okay. They bring another one over. That doesn't fit the plane. So then finally, I said, hey, why don't you just put out the emergency slide? We can slide down. I think it'd be a lot more fun. Chambers is laughing. He's like, only you would say that. Look, I thought it would be fun.
Yeah, players would have fun with that. They're proud to, grab their phones.
The
and
players?
On social media.
What are you, the players? What are you talking about, the players? I was like, hey, it's pretty good. Hey, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have serviced this valley and your insurance needs for decades. You only do that because you're really good day in and day out at your job. So I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, whatever insurance it may be. They'll find you the right insurance. That way you're covered. They'll find you the best price because that's part of their job, to go and check whatever insurance it may be. If they can go over state lines legally to find the right price for you so you're completely covered, they'll do it. And if there's a claim, my goodness, they'll jump in as if it happened to them. And that's exactly what I want from my insurance agent, Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Obviously a lot to talk about. We'll get to a couple just quick outside notes first, then we'll get to Penn State football. What does it tell you about West Virginia that a Power 5 school in the Big 12 loses their head coach to a Group of 5 school in Houston? Huh? What? The heck? I mean, I see stuff like that. I can't believe it.
I had to double-check Dana's resume. I had no idea that he was a former member of their coaching staff about a decade or so ago. Maybe it was a little further than that. Maybe it was closer to 15 years ago.
Yeah, but he's going from being a head coach at a Power 5 school to being the head coach at a Group of 5 school. It's supposed to be the other way around. Power 5 schools poach people from Group of 5 schools, not the other way around. Antonio Brown, flat out quit on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He flat out quit. Just quit. All right? Let's just be straight about it. Okay? Walked out, wouldn't practice, wouldn't show up at meetings, and then Mike Tomlin does something that I have great, great respect for. When Brown wants to show up, I'm going to play. I feel a lot better. I want to play now. Tomlin tells he and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, that's not how it works. He's out. You have no idea how much I respect that. I think that's incredible.
Well, I could have sworn it was a knee injury.
Knee injury? No. Okay.
I thought I saw that on the injury report.
He
Sue,
quit.
Didn't you? Didn't you?
Yeah, I heard knee injury myself. Yeah. Yeah, he looked good in his fur coat, though. I mean, come on. That's the thing that got me. You're on the sideline. I don't care what the reason, and you're not even in any sort of identifying gear of your team.
Looked good in the fur until halftime, then that's when he left the
That
state.
Said everything right there.
And the show's ruined. All right, so.
I'm just here for my ring. When's the ring ceremony?
I believe it's June 31st.
Great, I'll be there.
In fact, if you want, we can move it up to February 31st.
Either way, yeah, I'll make it work.
February 31st would be great, Sean. Mark that down.
Yeah,
Check the calendar.
Or first
February
31st. Yes.
Or, February 31st.
Or the first Wednesday in May, we'll buy you lunch at the Purdy tournament. We'll do that.
It's a high five year.
February 31st would be perfect.
I will say one thing. I was nervous.
You were.
I was nervous on
panicking.
New Year's Eve.
You were panicking.
Because Steve Jones made a humongous push in the last 2 days of the bull pick contest.
He surged and I tanked.
Yeah. I was very, very nervous. You, on the other
hand,
had no idea what was going on, did you?
If it makes you feel any better, I had absolutely no clue where I was in the whole thing the entire time. None. Zero. All of a sudden, I get a text message from Sean going, all right. I got a game Saturday. I got a game Tuesday. I got a game Thursday. Yeah, fine. Whatever. That's good. Congratulations. Really well earned on your part. And on behalf of the station, on behalf of Roger, on behalf of Jamie.
I know what's coming up next.
What? No. They hope that you throw your heart and soul into what is actually your real job.
There we go. Yeah, there it is. That's what we were looking for.
You sent me a text yesterday morning. Do I still have the lead in picks?
I was really worried. I mean, after the surge, I mean, I know I missed one on the New Year's Eve games. I missed one of the New Year's Eve games. And I thought that was enough, but I knew Steve was making a huge surge, and I was starting to get nervous.
Well, when I picked Miami in the Pinstripe Bowl, that was the start of my downfall.
That was the beginning of the end.
That game was over. That game was over right after kickoff.
Miami above the Mason-Dixon line in November or later is not a good pick.
Yep. Then the coach retires. Then Manny Diaz leaves Temple. Then you can coach a game at Temple, becomes the new Miami head coach.
Sean, if Boston College and Boise would have finished the game, would that have made any difference in the contest?
No, because you led by more than one.
I just wanted to make sure that there was no way that would have made a difference. All right. Thanks.
No.
I feel better now.
I'm still at the same level of caring.
And you're still right about there.
Yeah. I'm at the exact same level of caring I was a little while ago.
I'll tell you what, Steve, this is something people don't realize. The miles that you have put in the last 2 weeks, I tell you what, I don't know how you have any idea what's going on next or what direction you're going in.
When you told me this morning you didn't get home till 2 o'clock, I was like, oh, my goodness, because I remember you told me the game plan a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I'll be home in plenty of time after the game, leave right after the game, fly back home, good to go. It's like,
well, they had three planes. Two went to State College, one went to Harrisburg, and I didn't find out until Sunday that I was put onto the Harrisburg plane. I was like, oh, I'd already landed in Orlando, and I thought I was going right back to State College. And I said, no, we had to have a change of plans. You're going to Harrisburg. So I actually went to Harrisburg last night and then bussed up the rest of the way and got home about 2:15. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, I'm not going to complain about my trip to Central Mountain on Friday now.
Oh, jeez. no, I'm not complaining. But it's this is what... In the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, I've had four extended trips like this. I did the Pittsburgh-Tuscaloosa thing. Obviously, the Cancun thing was several days. I did the Chicago-Rutgers thing. And then, of course, now this one. It's just the way it's just what the job is.
Yeah, but you're travel savvy. I mean, if you're able to shave time, you always try to do that when you can.
That's the only thing I said to them about this part of it on Sunday. I said, I wish you'd told me this 2 weeks ago. I'd have just booked a flight to Detroit, you know, from Orlando. Because Jack kept bugging me about staying. I was like, I said, I really can't. I said, no. Because I thought I had it all worked out, but that doesn't matter. I mean, it's just the way it worked out. So, I was on a 777 last night in first class watching Mission Impossible Fallout. You know? I mean, every time I see Tom Cruise, for example, he reminds me a lot of you.
And?
In fact, I often compare Tom Cruise to you.
Uh-huh.
Not favorably.
Hey, listen, if I ever make it on Amazing Race, I want you to be my partner because you can get me around an airport with no problem.
Now
we're going to have a little trouble with the physical parts of the detours and things like that and the roadblocks, but boy, we are going to have the airport stuff down.
I was going to say, you know, the bulk of that, you're not in an airport.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. The physical part of that's going to be a little bit of a challenge for me, but we got the rest of it down.
Well, most important thing is we get back safely. Obviously, we'll talk about the game here in a few moments because obviously people want to hear the take on the game, which we will do. But as we mentioned earlier, Connor McGovern, there's been no surprises so far. Zero. Sharif Miller, I'm sitting on the bus with him on Sunday, going over to practice Sunday at the high school. Like, you know, and so he's openly talking with us in the back about, hey, look, right, okay, yeah, and for Sharif Miller, look, when you get your grade, you get first round, second round, go back to school. My guess is going to be that Sharif Miller go back to school, and his situation at home is one where money is not abundant and flowing. So I completely understand why he wants to do this. Do I think that he helps himself a little bit by staying? Yeah. Okay? But do I understand why he's doing this? Yeah. Do I think he'll make an NFL roster? Yes. But he'll be a third-day guy probably. Connor McGovern, same story. All of us expected that he would opt to go to the NFL draft. We all expected that. Unusual in that he's a third-year player. He is not a player that happens to be a redshirt junior. He's a true junior. Because he has versatility to play both center and guard, that's really going to help him. Now, I'm going to sense that he got a grade that was that encouraged him to enter the draft. Now, I'm not sure. Now, first-round grade, don't know. I'm not that savvy when it comes to offensive linemen to tell you whether he would get a first-round grade. But I would think he got no worse than a second-round grade. How about that? I'm just guessing now. So he's opted to enter. All right? So the next part will be who steps up. You look to see, in terms of the step-up, at Penn State, because Yetur Gross-Matos is only a sophomore, so he's definitely back. Shane Simmons now gets a golden opportunity, in my opinion, at Sharif Miller's spot. Jason Owe, who played four games, did not play the bowl game. Remember yesterday, somebody in the pregame show asked me yesterday about which players were at four games and which ones weren't. I mentioned that Jason Oway was a guy that I expected to not play in the game because he had hit his four games, but Justin Shorter I expected to play because he'd only played three. All right, so Oway will be a redshirt freshman next year. He is going to, in my opinion, play a lot next season as long as he's healthy. And he's healthy all season this year. I'm just saying, you know, I always have to throw that caveat in. As long as he's healthy, he's going to play a lot of football next season, and he is going to be a really good player. Shane Simmons is going to play a lot of football next year. Also, Nick Tarburton has a chance to be a really good defensive end in this program. McGovern at guard. Well, you've got Mike Miranda. Another Mike Miranda who had his one career start against Maryland. And he played a lot against Rutgers. In fact, he replaced McGovern against Rutgers. Played really well. I think Mike Miranda's now at a point where he's going to become a big-time contributor in that offensive line. And the moment is now there for him to step into the job. The moment is now there for him to step into the job. And then also, I would not be surprised if C.J. Thorpe migrates back to the offense. We'll see how it plays out, but if he migrated back to the offense, I wouldn't be shocked by it. Daylon Darien transferring, known about this for a couple weeks, just made it official. I mean, in his family, I think it's a family member that's not well. He needs to be closer to home. Outstanding young man who, by the way, in the Maryland game a year ago at College Park, played wide receiver, offense, played outside linebacker, defense, and was on special teams. How about that? All right. About the game in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance so you're covered, but also the best price. And if there's a claim, they go to work for you as if it happened to them. They're your partner in this. Exactly the kind of professionals I want as my insurance agent. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. The news of the day would be as follows, at least to this point. David Corley will not return for a second season as the wide receiver coach at Penn State. James Franklin thanking him for his season here. They will begin a national search for a wide receiver coach. They will do that. Next, Sharif Miller declaring for the NFL draft. Do I think he will make an NFL roster? Yes. His family would need it. There's no getting around that. And Sharif Miller's the kind of guy that has worked hard to do everything right. And I give him a lot of credit for that. And not only that, helping others on the team. I mean, Yetur Gross-Matos gives him all the credit in the world for helping him look at, film in a different way, preparation in a different way, so forth. I mean, Sharif Miller is one of those guys that really cares not just about himself, but he cares about his teammates and cares about the program that he would do something like that. Tells you a lot about him. Do I think, you get first round, second round, or go back to school? My guess is he probably got to go back to school. But Sharif Miller is probably a third day guy, but I think he'll make a roster and he'll make money. Connor McGovern probably got a very good grade out of this. Now, how high, who knows? But I can't see him lasting past the second day. His family situation up in Largsville, because he went to Lake Lehman, terrific family situation. So, this is one where it's just completely based on, hey, can I make the next level and do this? And he's done that. Let's see. Next would be Daylon Darien, who announced that he's going to transfer. That wasn't a surprise either. Know about that for a couple weeks. For him, this is it's a little more personal. His dad has been ill, and so he felt he had to transfer closer to home. Again, you want to talk about somebody that can do a bunch of things. Because he played wide receiver, he played linebacker, played on special teams, and I hope he does really well. Something that's also interesting, too, I want to point out this note from yesterday. Now, Penn State will open the season with Idaho August 31st. Cam Brown can't play the first half of that game, Did you know that?
That's right, because of the targeting call yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The targeting call yesterday. I hate that rule.
Yeah.
I hate that rule.
Do you think when the referee, depending on, obviously it depends on defensive player is lunging toward the offensive player. I saw one, it may have been a beat reporter on social media yesterday. It's like, I hate it when the referee says it's a targeting call. Should they just say helmet to helmet and just not call it targeting?
Yeah, I think they should. If a guy launches himself, that's targeting. All right, now, under the rule. Now, you didn't hear me on the broadcast complain about the call at all.
No, it was pretty much all the angles on TV. Looked pretty clear.
As soon as we saw it, we said, yeah, he's going to be thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
And Jack and I said it rather matter-of-factly. I mean, he's looked at it and go, hey, look, we've seen enough now, even though sometimes we're not sure what they are, that under that one, hey, they're going to throw him out. Because you can see, bang, he went helmet to helmet. And that to me, becomes an automatic. You know how they have the leeway in there now where, when they go to the booth, which they did yesterday, and they have the leeway to take it off the board? I wish that they would just sit there and allow the conference office, Bill Carollo in this case, and look, these guys can conference call. They can send video. I could sit here right now and watch football video if I want, okay? I could watch that call right now if I wanted to do. Okay, so now we have all this great capability. You get Bill Carollo and two other people. One's the referee, and then somebody else independent of the whole thing. And I think that they should have a conference call at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, 9 o'clock, or 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, whatever. Where is he? Everyone wants to sleep in 10 o'clock. Who cares? All right. And say, there were 6 targeting calls in the conference this weekend. let's look at each one and determine whether or not that player should be thrown out of the first half of next week's game. Wow, he launched himself. He should be out first half of next week's game. Ooh, man, the running back ducked down. Yeah, he hit him, and he was already starting to go low on him anyway. And it's the running back or the wide receiver's helmet went into his helmet. Okay, I can see why they called the penalty, because we're trying to enforce safety, but he shouldn't have to miss the first half of the next game. I think the conference office should do that, and then on Sunday afternoon make announcements as to who's out for the first half and who's not. You have the capability of doing it.
I know you mentioned earlier you didn't get a chance to catch the Sugar Bowl, but there was actually two Texas players last night within the last 2 minutes of the game. And a span of not even a handful of plays apart, two Texas players got ejected for targeting, and one of them was definitely a clear-cut hit on Jake Fromm of Georgia.
Right. Well, I go back to LSU. Remember they lost a linebacker for the Alabama game for the first half because of a targeting call? You're like, and I watched and I thought, okay, I can see it. But he's going to lose the first half of the next game for that? So I think this is where conference office can step in, whether it's the SEC, ACC, Bill Corollo in the Big Ten. But they should have the ability now, with all the video capability they have, where they can take it, blow it up on the big screen, look at it, and go, you know what? That's not going to happen unless the running back ducks his head into him. Right, so the penalty is fine, right? Because it's helmet to helmet. So that part I get. But I mean, did the guy launch himself? Did he tackle high? What, you know? And I think the conference office can determine whether a guy has to sit out the first half of a game. Parsons has been doing a lot of practicing. A lot of people with Miller going and so forth have mentioned. Does Parsons go to the defensive end? Well, it's not like he's not capable of it. And the way they're blitzing him at times, you know, he certainly can be a part of the pass rush package. But, you know, to his credit, he wants to be really good. So he's been practicing both the at both the Will and the Sam. Because he wants to give himself some versatility out there. And also, by doing that, you become a moving target where they're trying to find where you are. And if you become proficient at both, now you become really a dangerous linebacker out there. And I give him credit for that. But you look at some of the guys that they have. The Dixon kid from up here is coming in. He signed last month. He's another guy that a lot of people are very high on at linebacker. So, I mean, where is Penn State today? So now this, we have to revise a couple things. Let's revise this. Revising is in this vein. Now we have 40 at this hour. We'll see what other decisions might be made between now and I want to say it's January 14th they have to declare by.
I think that date sounds right, yes.
And we'll right now 40 of the top 48 on the two deep are scheduled to come back. Okay, 40 of the 48. We kept pointing out what a young football team it is, and that two deep really has changed now. Because, I mean, now Shorter's in that two deep. George is going to be in that two deep. Dotson already is. I thought Shorter played pretty well yesterday. One of the unsung plays that he made in yesterday's game was the block he made to spring K.J. Hamler in the 41-yard pass play. And I think that's interesting because that's an area, the blocking part of it, where a freshman, that's usually a toughest area for a freshman wide receiver to pick up on. He threw a really nice block to spring K.J. Hamler yesterday in the 41-yard pass play. Shorter's going to be a good player. He was banged up early in the season. Took him a little bit to get back in there. Then it took him a little while to get back into the groove. But in November, And then in December, you could see he was getting better and better by the week. And you could tell the couple of practices I went to before this game, this weekend. You know, I went to Sunday's practice, I went to Monday's. You could tell that he was going to get playing time, and he had earned it. So that's, I mean, he's going to be a good player. I think Daniel George is going to be a good player. Dotson already is. Now Zach Kuntz might get in there and get into the mix. Interesting. You know, with that tight end spot. And let's give Nick Bowers credit. I thought Nick Bowers played a fabulous game yesterday. You know, we've all been waiting. You know, Nick has had all those injuries. He's had all those injuries, and he went through this season, finally got himself in there. When he got himself in there, he played really well. Not only caught the touchdown pass yesterday, he made another big catch. He blocked really well yesterday. Bowers is a good player. I always had hoped he would get that chance and show that he's a good player. But this season, he did show that he is a good player. And I like Bowers a lot. So right now, with McGovern and Miller going, that's 40 of 48. And I think, as all of you guys know, and then, of course, David Corley is no longer on the coaching staff for Penn State football. And they will do a national search for a wide receiver coach. Remember, a year ago, he was hired actually as the running back coach. And then... And then when they hired Jawan Sider, David went to wide receivers. So they would do a national search for a wide receiver coach. And then the next one here is, this one is from Ryan Bates. And he says, after much discussion with friends, family, and coaches, I have made the decision to forego my final year of eligibility and declare for the NFL draft. So again, that one's not surprising either that Ryan Bates would do that. But he's made his decision as well. So that's three. It's interesting about all these guys that declare about going pro is that so far, and it'll happen at some point where there's a Penn State player that says, hey, you know what, I'm not going to play in the bowl game. Have you noticed so far, Sean, none of the Penn State players have opted out of a bowl game?
Yeah, that's correct. And that'll be interesting, too. We've really dove in heavy, not just today, but the past several weeks in the college football playoff, especially if eventually it moves to eight teams, if there's going to be more players. I guess it all depends on the college football landscape when that happens, how many more players may declare, I'm not going to play these last two playoff games. If more of that happens.
Boy, if somebody opted out of a playoff game, that would keep me from drafting them. Seriously.
And that's not really a good look on the kid. Yeah, I'm going to play one playoff game, and then I'm going to sit the rest of them out if there's one or two more they'd have to play.
I just can't. I mean,
that's going down a slippery slope.
First of all, I think first of all, it's not me, because I would never, it's something I would never consider. But everybody has to do what obviously is best for them. I think coaches are in a really bad spot in all of this, because they have to completely support what the kid's doing, even though they might know that, not quite right. That it's not the best decision. But they have to be publicly supportive of all these guys. Now, anyone that gets drafted, let's give you an example. Barkley. All right, Barkley goes early. Oh, would have been awesome to have Barkley this year? Sure, would have been awesome to have Barkley this year. But how great does it make look Penn State? Does Penn State look because he is there? And also, you want to be a coach, and Dean Smith was really the first guy to be in this direction. And in some ways, Joe Paterno was too. Where, hey, look, let me call my guys. Let me find out. Let me talk to my people. All right? A lot of North Carolina guys went early, from Bob McAdoo. I mean, Jordan had a year left. All right? But there's a series of North Carolina guys that after a couple of years, not as one and done's, but after a couple, 3 years, they went. And if you're a player and you go to a school for a coach like a Dean Smith, and I'll give you the Joe Paterno examples in a moment, that says, hey, look, let me check. Let's see where they're not so interested in what is, you know, you staying will help them, but they're more about helping you. In recruiting, that's gold. Joe is like that too. Mike Munchak. Mike, let me call a couple of people I know, find out, hey, Mike, you're going to be a top 10 pick. You need to go. Todd Blackledge. Right? Now, we know Todd didn't have the greatest NFL career, but makes a couple calls, and at this time you had to get your degree. Well, Munchak had another year of eligibility remaining at Penn State. Joe made a couple calls. Boom, he went. Todd Blackledge. Joe made a couple calls. People he trusted said, hey, look, he's going to be a top 10 pick. Boom, Todd, go. There were a couple guys, most of the guys that went, like Kajana Carter, Kajana, you got to go. LeVar, you got to go. But there are only, I think there's only two guys I can think of where Joe wasn't enamored with their decision to go. Everybody else, he'd be like, hey, come on, you got to do this. And if you do that, see, you get that reputation from in recruiting, like, hey, this guy isn't just about himself. Like, he cares enough about me. If he thinks I'm ready to go, he'll tell me. That means a lot. James Franklin. Okay? You know? Supports it. Means a lot. It means a lot. It looks good for the program. It looks good for the coach. It looks good for the player. The only two players I can think of that Joe wasn't exactly crazy about going early were Richie Anderson, believe it or not. Richie, to his credit, was a third-round pick and ended up having a 10-year NFL career. In fact, Richie and I, he was going out to the combine, and he and I rode out together. And we had a long talk about that. Because I was going out to do basketball at Northwestern. So we were on the same plane. I had done a women's basketball game on TV on a Friday night, and then I flew out. And so we flew out together, and we were talking about that. And he told me, he said, Joe wasn't exactly crazy about it. And the only other one I heard of that Joe wasn't completely crazy about it happened to be Aaron Maben. And then Maben turns out that, he's going to be a first-round pick. He got like a $14 million signing bonus. So, McGovern, Bates, and Sharif Miller. All declaring for the NFL draft. There is no surprise in any of those. And David Corley no longer a part of the staff.